a coffee cup. It looks like Sally and Ron finally tied the knot. Well, it's about time. It's 35 cents off a ground round. Baby, cut that coupon out. It's what I love about Sunday. Catnapping on the porch swing. You curled up next to me. The smell of jasmine wakes us up. Take a walk down a back road. Tackle box and a cane pole. Carve our names in that white oak. Still our kids as the sun fades. That's what I love about Sunday. Mama's hands raised up high, having a hallelujah good time. A smile on everybody's face. That's what I love about Sunday.
Radio is the new 92.7 KZHC.
We got a pontoon boat with a Yamaha. People dress like they're in Panama. Small town spring break every weekend around this place. And there's a bunch of boys trying to catch the eyes of all the pretty girls that are walking by. And those redneck margaritas are two for one at that old marina. Yeah, 10 lines and gas station cheap sunglasses. They're coming here from all around to get a little south, south, south. Till you see honey cotton a buzz. Them south, sounds out loud. Someone dripping off a bus. From the river bank to the party cove. Long as it floats, we'll rock the boat. And it's all looking up when we get down. Yeah, and get a little south. She take it slow. She's dancing on the dock. And it's only 2 o'clock. Yeah, the fish ain't biting cause the party's on. The old man, I'm thinking about going home. But those redneck margaritas are 2 for 1 at that old marina. Yeah, they're gonna get a little south, south, out loud. Tennessee honey kind of buzz. Them south sounds out loud. Summer dripping off of us. From the river bank to the party cove.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? What do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? I'm falling. And in the good times I find myself alone for change. And in the bad times I fear myself.
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore? I'm falling. And in the good times I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times I fear myself. I'm off the deep end, watch as I dive in. I'll never meet the ground. Crash through the surface where they can't hurt us. We're far from the shallow now. In the shallow, in the shallow, in the shallow, we're far from the shallow
our local community folks making a difference here in Harney County. Join Mindy Gould in studio right now. It's Harney County Live, right here on 92.7 KZHC.
Good morning, and thank you for listening to 92.7 KZHC. I'm Mindy Gould, and you are listening to Harney County Live. Sorry for being a couple of minutes late starting it. With me in studio today, I have Beth Booz. She is a grad student at Louisiana State University, and she's working with the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge and the High Desert Partnership. So, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, go ahead and tell me a little bit about yourself. You know, where are you from, and where'd you go to school, and all that fun stuff.
So, I'm originally from the Dayton, Ohio area, which is obviously not near here. I grew up all my life in Ohio, and I kind of just decided to keep my Midwest trend going. So I went to school in Minnesota for a year, in Northwest Minnesota. And then I went to school and finished my education, my undergrad, that is, at University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point in central Wisconsin. And I've just been kind of bouncing around doing different jobs throughout my time in school. So I've spent some time in Alaska, in Northeast Minnesota, in New Hampshire. I spent 6 months in New Hampshire when I graduated working on Squam Lake, which is a really, really pristine freshwater lake. Absolutely beautiful. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm from.
Kind of traveled all over the place. So what is it that you're majoring and mastering and all that? What is it that you're going to school for?
So my undergraduate degree was Bachelor of Science in Fish and Water Resources, specializing in water resources. And my master's program with LSU is Renewable Natural Resources with a concentration in wildlife.
So renewable natural sources, what does that exactly mean?
So it's a pretty broad category. I think LSU probably doesn't have a strict definition on it as... I've looked through the programs and, you know, they have things like forestry, water resources. They also have things that might not necessarily be considered a renewable resource, but, you know, it's kind of that field, whereas most colleges would call it natural resources would be the program they would name it.
So what is your goal with getting your master's and doing all this?
So ideally, I would really like to stay out west. I absolutely love it out here. And I do want to work in the education field. So I would like to kind of use my research and my knowledge with water systems and things like that and work with the public and do interactions and stuff like that kind of promote education within communities.
And so what kind of job is that, though? I mean, where would you find something like that? I mean, through the state, through the federal, through...
Let me tell you, it is hard to find. Especially what I found with community-based education projects, you have to look small. You have to look either local or look at things like nonprofits. Those are technically more suited for what I'm looking for. There are education jobs you can take at the federal and state level. Absolutely, I just find them a little less impersonal, and I kind of want that interaction with people. So. The best example that I have would be the Park Service would be definitely the most educational geared federal sector. So that's definitely an option, and anyone in this field would absolutely love to work with the Park Service. Most of their places are absolutely beautiful, so wouldn't have a problem.
So is your goal to educate adults, or is your goal to work with children?
Both. I think it's really important working with children, and I think they're a little easier to work with sometimes, for sure.
Sponges.
Depends on the age. It really does. But I think it's really important that we also focus things towards adults, because there are a lot of adults out there who are absolutely willing to learn and always want to know more. And I think those are the kind of people that we can reach out to. And even some of the ones that don't, that might necessarily not know that they're missing out on things, and kind of try and bridge that gap.
So you said you're over from, you know, all the way across the United States. You're going to school in Louisiana. So why are you here?
So this is where the project took me. It was really exciting when I saw it, because I had always wanted to be out west. And grad school is a somewhat difficult thing to get into, and my field, especially getting into a program that you're passionate about. And so the thing that I loved about this job was that it was working with vegetation. And I really love that biotic portion of it. And so vegetation was something that I like to work with, even if it's not necessarily the biotics of wildlife, which is one of the most common things that people love to work with in this field. But I was really excited for that. And then it's in Oregon. I've never been to Oregon before. So
at least you said it correctly.
I thought about it. I thought about it in my head. Yeah, it just kind of the pieces fell into place right as I was finishing my last job, and I took it.
Perfect. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to discuss what you are actually doing out Malheur Lake.
Perfect.
So we'll be right back. You're listening to 92.7 KZHC. You're listening to Harney County Live.
Now back to the good stuff. Harney County Live, here on the new 92.7 KZHC.
Join Harney Hospital Foundation for the Skull Gravel Grind Race After Party Saturday, June 19th from 3 to 9 p.m. at the Arrowhead Plaza in downtown Burns. Enjoy food, drinks, and music as you mingle with bicycle riders from all over the country. The event will help raise funds for a 3D mammography machine for Harney District Hospital. Special thanks to First Community Credit Union for co-sponsoring this event. Call Alicia at 541-573-8609, 573-8609 for more information. Special occasions are happening and you want to be prepared. Shop the biggest little kitchen shop in Eastern Oregon. Gourmet Gadgets and Burns has walls of wonderful gifts, kitchen supplies, linens, pottery, hydro flasks, yummy sweets. The list goes on and on. Have a wedding coming up, birthday, or need a gift just to say thank you? Gourmet Gadgets can help you find just what you want, and they offer free gift wrap on your purchases. Shop the biggest little kitchen shop in Eastern Oregon. Gourmet Gadgets and Burns.
Need a hot water heater, room heater, shop heater, fireplace? Want a competitive price, professional installation, warranty, and a local company with local employees available for service and assurance of the products? You don't need to leave town. Call Ed Staub & Sons, 573-2622. And I can say with some confidence, the last time I checked, Home Depot or Lowe's can't provide you with 100 free gallons of propane with your purchase. Ed Staub & Sons, 573-2622. Energy, community, service.
Don't worry, we didn't forget about you. Now back to Harney County Live on 92.7 KZHC.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 92.7 KZHC. You're listening to Harney County Live, and I'm Mindy Gould. And with me today, I've got Beth Booz, the grad student at LSU, working with the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge and with High Desert Partnership. So you're going to school in Louisiana. You came over here. Clearly, it's not for vacation. So what is it that you guys are actually doing out at the refuge?
So what I'm primarily working with this summer and next summer, it's a two-year project, is with the vegetation. And when I talk about vegetation with my project, we're talking about emergent vegetation. So we're talking about cattail, bulrush, alkali bulrush. And those are the main ones that you would see at the refuge. So those are the kind of the species that we're focused on. And we are basically trying to figure out what happened to stop vegetation from expanding. Right now, if you go out on the lake, it's pretty sparse. There's vegetation around the edges, but it used to be that in the middle of the lake, where it's right now about 2 or 3 feet, historically it's been 5 or 6 feet, there's been clumps of bulrush. It's something that kind of vegetation should be able to grow pretty easily in that environment. And the thing with Malheur Lake is that the water levels are so variable over time scales that it actually should be helping vegetation to grow, because you have different drawdown periods, which should allow vegetation to not get flooded out, especially when there's seedlings and germinates and things like that. And with bulrush and cattail, they both spread through rhizomes as well. So you don't even need necessarily that seed portion for things to start growing. If the vegetation can just continue to expand under the ground and then keep shooting up, that should be able to work too. And we should be seeing more expansion than we have. And so basically the focus and goal of my project is figuring out what is that factor that's inhibiting the growth and expansion of vegetation, and how can we fix it? How can we work towards that restoration project?
And what are the steps that you guys are taking now to find that out?
So our first concern was that there was this prolonged flood event in the 80s that supposedly wiped out vegetation, and we don't necessarily, there's not a great record of what happened. And with that combination, as well as the introduction of common carp, There were some factors that just kind of led that vegetation to decline. And so we're trying to figure out why those factors did that and how we can fix it. So the first thing that we're talking about is the soil. So are there seeds in the seed bank? Are they viable? Were they flooded out for so long that they are no longer viable, and that's why we're not seeing anything grow? So we took over 50 soil samples and put them in a greenhouse, actually at the Burns High School greenhouse, and we're trying to see what's going to grow out of those. So that we got those samples at the beginning of June And we should be seeing what's coming out of those in a couple weeks, hopefully. Right now, there's definitely things coming out, but I can only see the cotyledon, which is like the leading leaf, which is totally different than the normal leaf of any vegetation or any plant that you'd be looking at. So it's impossible to identify at this point. But there has been success with that. So that's kind of our first process of thinking. And then the second part isn't why isn't it growing, it's why isn't it expanding. So we have existing clumps, and we want those existing clumps to continue to expand, and they can do that with their rhizomes. So for this portion of it, and if you were listening when Dom was on here, he talked about it a little bit, we had exclosures. So we've put out 58 exclosures on the lake, and those are basically 5 meter by 5 meter or 16 feet by 16 feet panels that are surrounding existing clumps of vegetation. And some of these we're trying to reduce herbivory on. And when you do that, you put an extra layer on the hog panel, and that's hardware cloth, or you can think like chicken wire. And that's going to keep out anything from getting in. And if the herbivory is what's inhibiting that plant from expanding, then we'll be able to see growth. The other thing that we're testing with these exclosures is wind. So it gets really windy here in Harney County and out on the lake. It gets pretty bad, and it can move water all the way across the lake and do a lot of things, as well as in the winter where you got ice and everything going on. So there's a lot of abiotic things going on the lake. And so we set up some exclosures that have wind barriers, which are just plastic sheet paneling that we kind of hammered into the ground in the predominant wind direction to try and stop that wave and that wind action from hitting that plant. So those are a couple of the types of things that we're looking at. And we do have some other small portions of the project going on, but basically our main two parts are the seeds viable? Do we have seeds? And can we help the plants expand by doing one of the two, herbivory or wind treatments?
So you said that you told me before we went on air that you got here mid end March. So yes. Have you been working on this project since you got here, or when did this project actually start?
Yeah, so when I got here in March, it was definitely a little bit of a shock. Not the chili. The chili I'm used to. It was actually the lake. The lake is a really hard thing to picture in your head, especially for me, because I grew up in Ohio and in the Midwest. And when I think of a lake, you know, I think of
a lake.
A lake. And, you know, you got the Great Lakes, you got everything going for
you. Not a kitty-sized pool, yeah, you know, right. Knee deep.
You're not like walking out and you're like, oh, I can just stand in this lake. There's no portion where you're not touching the bottom. And so, and there's also the sheer size of Malheur. It's a really large lake. And so the first time I went out there on like an airboat with Dom, I was like looking around like, well, I'm going to have to rethink some things that I had thought about. Because it's really hard to picture. And no matter, like, we had Zoom meetings, we had stuff like that, but I was working from home for January and February. Mm-hmm. And so I was just working with the information that I had and doing some research and figuring out what we could try. So that's why it was a bit of a shock for me. So most of the month of like March and April were planning. They were trying to figure out how we were going to do what we were going to do and how we were going to make it more of a scientific approach and making sure that we were covering all of our bases and having everything set up in a way that we could be fairly confident in our results. And so most of the exclosures went up in May.
Okay.
I think all of them went up in May.
Are there any more going up?
No.
So no. Just leaving it at
this
58.
This is it for now.
So before we take a quick break, how big is Malheur Lake? I mean, is there like, you know, 14 miles across, 10 miles long? I mean,
I think the fetch that sticks out in my head, I think it's 7 kilometers, which is
pretty decent size.
I don't even know. I can't convert that miles in my head. Yeah, it's large. And with the no vegetation in the middle, you have the vegetation is not blocking anything. And mm-hmm. So that wind can go all the way across the lake, and it's, you know, 7 kilometers of wind or whatever it is. So it's pretty extensive.
So we're going to take a super quick break, You're listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC.
Help us help you. CAN Cancer of Harney County is conducting an assessment of local cancer patients to identify cancer-related needs and barriers to care. Cancer patients currently undergoing or who have undergone cancer treatment while living in Harney County are encouraged to take this survey, open now through August 13th. Find a link to the online version of the survey on the CAN Cancer of Harney County Facebook page, and paper copies are available at Harney District Hospital, the Health Department, and the Health Clinic on the Burns Paiute Reservation. For more details, call Stephanie Weiss at 541-573-8614. Business opportunity in Burns. At the biggest little kitchen store in Eastern Oregon, Gourmet and Gadgets is looking for someone who wants a great local Harney County business opportunity. Jan's inventory is all for sale, no property included. Stop in, visit with Jan and Bob if you are interested, or call 573-1725. 573-1725. That's 573-1725 to discuss. Gourmet and Gadgets, 340 North Broadway in Burns.
Craig here with Ed Staub & Sons. I was recently at a conference on great selling techniques. These included hypnosis, of all things. They didn't necessarily report that it was proven, but heck, let's try. Buy from Ed Staub & Sons. Buy oils and lubes at Ed Staub & Sons. Buy propane at Ed Staub & Sons. Oh, hey, it works. Here comes someone now. Gotta go. Ed Staub & Sons, 573-2622. Energy, community, service.
Keeping Harney County connected. Harney County Live on 92.7 KZHC.
Welcome back and thank you for listening to Harney County Live. I'm Mindy Gould, and in studio with me I have Beth Booz. So you were just talking about, you know, all the things that you guys have got, the enclosures and everything out there, and that you've done a little bit of transplanting and stuff. Have you guys seen actual growth out there from what you were, from the enclosures and stuff?
Yeah, we have seen some. So one of the interesting things that we also have going with this project is there were some test enclosures that were put up last year. So there were a couple that we can really see the difference there, just from that 1 year. Like, we have some that are expanding outside of the enclosures, and that's pretty notable. Those are from last year. But we are definitely seeing growth of the ones that we put around this year. We actually marked the edge of the rhizome with wooden stakes. And so those are allowing us to see if the new shoots are coming up further out and seeing where they're going and what direction they're going in, which can be interesting too. So we have been seeing, it's not a lot right now. I mean, we're still kind of in the beginning of growing season for these plants. So we're expecting to see more.
Now, with the rhizomes? Yeah, what is that?
Rhizomes are like the underground portions, like they're like tubers kind of, that like they grow to the side and then they can grow back up into little shoots. So they kind of allow the plant to expand underground and create this root system, and then they can grow up from there as well.
Gotcha. And so you were talking about the carp and the different fish and stuff in there. Do you guys have any idea how the carp got introduced out there, if they're such a little nuisance?
You know, I don't know how carp initially got introduced. That's a really good question. Normally carp is man-introduced, like intentionally for fishing. At least that's my experience, has been in the Midwest. And it always causes problems. I don't think I've ever heard of a system with carp that doesn't have problems. And it's usually really, really difficult to get rid of, because if you even leave one carp behind, you didn't leave one carp behind.
So do you guys think that part of the problem is the carp in the lake?
Yeah. So James Pearson, who works out at the refuge, did his PhD on carp, on common carp at the lake. And for sure, we found that the carp are not helping. There's something they're bottom feeders, so they break up the sediment at the bottom, and they're foraging, and they disturb the sediments, and which can cause uprooting of plants and things like that. They don't normally eat plants, but just that alone is such a disturbance that it creates turbidity as well. So that sediment mixing around makes the lake this lovely muddy brown color, which is inhibiting light, which is inhibiting things from growing. Because if you don't have light and you don't have that basically you can't grow any plants. And so carp are definitely a factor. However, and you can't quote me on this, but I know from reading his study that even if we were to reduce the amount of carp to a certain threshold or level, it still wouldn't solve our problems.
Really?
Yeah. So the numbers that happen, like you can help the lake, but it's not going to get better from there. It'll just rebound and go back to where it was. So one of the things that he concluded from his work was that it needs kind of this full systems approach. Like there's too many things going on in the lake to just say the problem is carp, let's deal with carp, because it's not going to get you as far as you want to go. You have to look at a couple factors there.
There's a huge amount of factors. Yeah. Why was Malheur Lake chosen?
For this study?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Malheur Lake is just, it's really important ecologically, and it's, as part of the Pacific Flyway, it's one of the most important breeding grounds and stopping grounds for migratory birds. So it's a lake that's been in the process of restoration just because it's very important and it's needed for these processes. And it's, you know, you don't ever want to like walk out and see a disgusting lake. You want to see like a healthy lake, something that things are living in and growing in. And so that's kind of why there's a lot of focus right now on restoring it, especially with, you know, water shortages and things like that. When it's going to get drier, we still need water for other things, and especially like one of the major concerns is for birds and for waterfowl.
And do you think that eventually this will become clear, that you guys will be able to?
Oh, that is nearly impossible to say. The thing is, with over the course of geologic time, it's almost impossible for us in any area to know what lakes used to be like. It's potentially that it's a natural cycle. It could just be that, you know, every 1,000 years or so
it turns icky.
Yeah. I mean, like there are natural functions at work. However, we do know that there are some anthropogenic things going on in the lake. Like there's definitely been some influence that we've had on it. Was it what caused it to do this? We don't know. It's hard to tell. Do we hope that we can get the lake back? Yes. Yeah, we for sure do. And at this point, I definitely wouldn't say it's impossible, because it's never impossible. We can always learn more. We can always do more. It might be expensive, but yeah, I think there's always a potential.
Do you think part of it has to do with like low snowpack and rain and stuff? Does that play a contributor factor into it?
The water level generally isn't indicative of the water quality state and the water health state. It's, you know, we like to have more water in the lake just because it lets us reach new parts of the lake, because only like, you know, an inch of precipitation has a huge effect on the level of Malheur Lake, and you can get to a lot more and see a lot more parts of the lake with that. But the turbidity of the lake isn't necessarily going to be affected by the water level. Yeah.
Sad to say. Well, we are completely out of time. I want to thank you for coming in and talking about that. And talking about, you know, kind of pretty much an update, because Dominic was in here a couple of weeks ago talking about the studies on the lake and stuff, but a little bit different field. So I really appreciate you coming in and kind of giving us a little update.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you for listening to Harney County Live. Please be tuned in tomorrow at 8:30 here on 92.7 KZHC for Harney County Live.
That's another edition of Harney County Live every weekday morning on